Welcome to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast. This is Gokul. For the first time in our podcast, we are not having Harsha. He's very busy with work and he asked me to do the recording today. Today's guest is Anupa Shekhar. She is a karate black belt. She's a kalaripayattu artist. She's been a celebrity trainer and now she is the mother of one of the most promising cycling prodigies of the country in a very new sport. Welcome, Anupa.
Hi, Gokul.
So, like I said, why don't you introduce yourself, Anupa, about your background?
As Gokul said, like, I've been into martial arts from the time I was like probably 5 or 6 years old. So took to karate and told my parents I want to be a karate teacher then itself, and stuck to that. So as soon as I finished college, I started teaching karate. And I was in Chennai then. So I kept teaching karate and then started learning kalaripayattu also. Picked a little bit of taekwondo and kickboxing on the way. And then over some years, I thought it's better to teach kalaripayattu because I felt it's more holistic. And right now I'm teaching kalaripayattu in Hyderabad. So been in touch with Bike Affair and Gokul and Krish since 6 years now. And Agasti has been into cycling right from the time he's 5. Right now he's 10 years old. So he took to long distance cycling first, and then we moved into a little bit of triathlons in between. And about 2 years before, probably 3 years before, Gokul told me that there's this person called Hamza who's starting a pump track in Appa Junction, Hyderabad. So we went there from the day the track was built, and we're pretty much living there. It's our second home today, and Agasthi does not want to come from the pump track every day. So that's how Agasthi got into BMX, and last year he made a decision to stop doing triathlons and only stick to BMX because he wants to be doing the Olympics, represent the country in the Olympics. Probably in 2028, he should be around 18 then. But before that, he'll be doing the Youth Olympics in 2016. So that's what we are training for. And
So you were telling, no, for that you Agasthi made a decision to move from triathlon. So I think that has been a very interesting phase of discovery, right? I remember the couple of days ago when we were speaking, you were talking about how you used to accompany him on long rides and spend 45 minutes on the roadside wherein he explores a farm and stuff like that. So how did you inculcate or how did you influence Agasthi about cycling?
Well, actually, pretty much even I started my first long ride way back in 2013 when we just moved to Hyderabad. Like a couple of months after that, I met Gokul and Chitti. They came for a service camp, and you guys picked our bikes and went for service. And after that, I did my first long ride that was with TAF. So then I picked my trek. So on the day of the first long ride, which was like 67 kilometers or something, Agasthi said he also wants to join. And then I asked Gokul, is it okay to take a kid to ride? So Gokul said, okay, go along. Anyway, I'm on support that day. So if you need my help, you can always call. So I did call Gokul a lot of times because I lost my way like crazy that day. I was new to Hyderabad also. But anyway, he completed his 67 kilometers. And from then, he's been riding long. Just that at no point of time, I kind of made it like he has to finish it at a particular time. There was no time pressure from my side or his side. It was just like, as long as you want your ride, we start and we complete the ride. And whenever any of the support vehicles also asked Agasthi if he wanted to go in the car or the truck because it was getting too sunny, or it was, sometimes it would look really difficult and challenging, he would always opt that he would want to complete the ride only cycling, and has never got into a support truck. So So basically, we'll take a lot of time. We'll stop on farms and fields. He'll pick stones. We'll look at railway tracks where we find them. Look at goats, look at dogs, everything on the way and complete the ride. But end of the day, every time he started his ride, he completed the ride. And a couple of months before, he was telling me, I mean, I didn't realize that I had made an impact on him, but he told me that whatever you decide you have to do, you always keep doing, and I also want to be just like you. So it made me feel happy because, okay, at least I was influencing him positively. So he was always enjoying cycling, and he saw Vignan in a triathlon, so that's when he moved to a bit of triathlons also. Basically, he always enjoyed the time he spent on the bike more than the swim or the run leg, though he did triathlons and he wanted to take it forward there. But then last year, it was getting a little too difficult in terms of training, both doing the triathlon training and doing BMX. Most of the time, he was ending up getting a little tired and fatigued. So I told him, you choose whether you want to be doing triathlons or BMX, because both are getting a little too challenging. So he said, I'd rather be doing BMX because I really enjoy being on the pump track more than doing triathlons. Probably I'll do triathlons later. So I wanted him to make the decision because I don't like to force anything on kids, and all the more my kids. I teach a lot of school children also, and nowhere I force them to be doing what I want them to do. It's always good if they make the decision, then they are following their heart and it's going to work long. Even I have been that way from the time I'm a kid. Pretty much I've been following my heart. So I feel that's why I'm able to do whatever I want until today. So with Agassi, yes, he's enjoying the pump track most. And Hamza, we found to be a very good coach. He's one, he's very good with children, and he allows the kids to work based on what they feel like doing on that particular day. Though he has a set routine saying, okay, we will be doing a number of things today. But he does give an option to the kids to do what they feel like, which is why I know Agassi has spent 4-5 hours also on the track on some days when he just doesn't feel like he should be coming back. And at no point Hamza has told that, okay, it's time to go home. Now go, guys. As long as they want to train, he allows them to train there. He plays with them. He makes it so much of fun. The reason Agassi is doing BMX today and BMX is in India is only because of Hamza. Either ways, yeah, Agassi would have been cycling, but we would have been doing probably road biking or mountain biking. So that way I feel... both of them have kind of synced up and the rhythm is going well. So after last year and this year, he has actually won the Red Bull Junior Pump Track Championship. So that's under 16 championship, and both the times he came first. And this year he actually even beat a 15-year-old boy whom he has never beat before. So he was very happy about it. So after that, I was generally browsing to see how we can take it forward. Yeah, we are doing well in India, but if we have to go to the Olympics, there has to be some other path which I have to take. So then I accidentally hit upon this coach, Sanusi, in Malaysia. So they had just then finished the Asian BMX Championship, so I was figuring out how we should also be able to go there next year. So after that, he sent a race invite for one of their races in September, and when we went there, we got to train with him. So then I figured out that until then I thought BMX was just, okay, you just had freestyle and race BMX. But then there is, you have so many other genres, and just the race BMX itself has one cyclocross option and then another option, which I'm still not clear about. But at least I know that what Agassi is going to be doing is the race BMX, which is recognized in Olympics. Freestyle is getting recognized with 2020 Olympics. I'm not sure if he's going to be pursuing it or not pursuing it, but as far as race BMX is happening, yes, we are into it, and we got a very good training plan from coach Sanusi in Malaysia. So where he's given us the road ahead until the Youth Olympics and moving forward to the Olympics also. So from then he also started training us from there. Basically, he gives me the training plan and I work with Agassi here. So he said, like, only 70% of the, I mean, 30% of the work is on the track. 70% is the endurance and the strength. So when Agassi was training for triathlon, he was doing a lot of strength and endurance. But when he stopped that and it was only pump track, we realized all his time was only on the track. There was no other work which was happening. So with this, we kind of struck that balance. And from like September, I've been working with Agasthi on his strength and endurance, which has been going well. And it did show a lot of difference from what happened in September to what happened now. There was a lot of improvement in his technique, his posture on the bike, because posture on the bike is very important as far as BMX racing is concerned. It kind of determines your entire race finish, basically. How you basically start at the gate determines your race finish, is my understanding until now. Probably as I grow with Agasthi, I would learn more on that. But so that actually came a long way with the strength training and fitness routine which he sent to us, which a lot of work on the his cadence also, which in freestyle there's not so much importance given to cadence in BMX, but for the race BMX cadence is important. In fact, we have worked, when Gokul has worked with Agasthi, a lot of work has been done on his cadence. But then again, we revisited it, and he's been doing a lot of roller trainer sessions for his cadence. And
So I will stop you at that point, yeah. Because I don't know whether many of us will understand the difference between the race format on a race BMX and a freestyle BMX. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what are the differences, what is the track difference, what is the distance, and so on?
Okay, well, so the race BMX, basically the Olympic style race BMX, they have 8 gates, the start gates. So the riders are placed before the start gate, and after the typical start routine, they have the gate falls and they start. So the drop is like about 8 meter drop for the actual Olympics. Until Youth Olympics, it is a 5 meter drop.
Mm-hmm. So you mean the ramp?
Yeah, the ramp is a 5 meter drop. So until now, what these kids are training is on a 5 meter drop. So they will be doing that. Even the Asian BMX Championship will happen only on a 5 meter drop. So after about 12 years of age, he will be introduced to the 8 meter drop. So that's the way the gate starts. Then afterwards, you have a little bit of a dirt track. Then you have the asphalt track. All the berms, the turns are all asphalt tracks. And then again, you have a little bit of the roller sections. The roller sections are pretty much what they call as rhythm sections, which are similar to the pump track here.
Mm.
So right now, Agassi's strength is at a rhythm section. So then after the third turn, the last straight is where you have the finish line. So there, basically, it's a sprint finish. You have to like do your all-out sprint finish there.
Mm.
So most of these tracks traditionally have three turns, four straights, three turns. And most of the tactics are done after you, at the start of the gate, and then after you hit the end of the gate, like
mm-hmm.
at the end of the ramp, basically. That's mm-hmm. where you plan your race line. So basically what the coach says is you decide your race line right before, because you have totally 8 gates and each gate has 50-60 race lines by itself.
Oh my God.
So basically, as they keep doing it, the race lines become muscle memory as they keep training pretty much every day. So he says, like, you have to decide your race line at the start gate, before the start gate. When you're at the start gate, you're clear. You just need to go by your race line, independent of what others are going to be doing to you. Because there can be people who are very close, because the nature of the sport is such that 8 riders are together at a time. So elbows come in contact mostly, and sometimes pedals also come in contact. But it's up to you how you're going to manage yourself and finish the race. Falls do happen sometimes, but they are pretty well protected. The gear is very well protected. You have a full face helmet. You have to use only a full face helmet. You cannot ride without a full face helmet on a racetrack. And you need to be wearing your shoulder guard, your neck guard, chest guard, then your thighs, your knees, your ankle, shin, everything is protected. And shoes also, you have to stick to the specification, shoe specification given by the UCI for racing. And
okay.
Yeah, you have to. And even the socks length has to be ankle length. No, not ankle length, it has to be knee length socks. Either way, we are not allowed to participate. Even if it's a 5-year-old child, they ask you to go change your socks and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So they stick to those rules right from the beginning in any race.
Mm-hmm.
And again, bike specifications also, you need to stick to the number plate given to them, and the format of the number plate has to be what they give. And gloves are compulsory, and goggles are compulsory. So all of these things, your safety equipment is really good. So I don't foresee big accidents happening unless, yeah, if it is unfortunate, because BMX comes under extreme sports. This versus the Red Bull tracks, which we have. So basically the track length for a racetrack is 480 meters. It'll be in the Olympics, it'll be around 450 to 480 meters. The track we are training on right now in Malaysia and the Asian tracks will be between 350 to 400 meters. So that is like good. So this versus the VeloSolution pump tracks, which we have here in Hyderabad, it has India's first VeloSolutions pump track, and apparently it's Southeast Asia's also first pump track. So in a pump track, traditionally it's made fully out of asphalt. The VeloSolutions tracks are made in asphalt. So Red Bull conducts competitions across the world on VeloSolutions tracks. And again, the one here in India is about 168 meters or something. And you have tracks up to about 350, 380 meters known to me in Red Bull asphalt tracks. And in a pump track, traditionally you don't need to pedal. You only have to pump. Pumping, pedaling is not allowed if it is a official race. You have to only pump. And again, here also the safety is pretty much same. You have to wear all your safety equipment mentioned in the race thing. And Agassi has been training all these years more only on the pump track. Only from last month, from September, he's been training on a racetrack really. And in terms of freestyle BMX, it involves all the stunts and it looks the most fancy of all these things. There are very good freestyle BMXers in India whom I've seen, like between 18 to like about 52-year-old person I've seen who are like real good freestyle BMX. And that you have street and flatland also. So there are a lot of very good BMXers. There, of course, if you see... at least in India, they don't follow so much of the safety is what I feel in terms of usage of helmet and all that. But I assume once it is recognized as an Olympic sport, there will be these number of safety equipment and safety measures which they'll also have to follow. And since it's going to be recognized by UCI, obviously they will have to go by those protocols as well. So once it gets introduced in 2020 is when I'll actually figure out the rules of how the freestyle competitions do happen.
Okay.
So, though Agassi went for a freestyle BMX camp to the US in May, where again it was more of skills and techniques, but the skills and techniques learned by freestyle BMX come a long way for racing also.
Correct.
So, that's my knowledge until now about the three. I'm sure I'll be learning more.
What is the typical time taken for about the completing a lap in the race BMX, about 400 meters you are saying?
So each meter has to be done in 10 seconds, 1 second I mean.
1 second, so that is about 6 minutes, six and a half minutes,
like 42 seconds for is the good timing on that track. On the 380 meters track, we're like 32 seconds.
Okay, so that means you mean 10 meters in
10 meters in 1 second.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, that's the best timings. You if you're good, you have to be like at 38 seconds on a 380 meter track. And as you get better, you improve from there.
Okay, so one interesting question I have as a coach also is, you were talking about how your Malaysian coach had asked Agassi to train on endurance as well, and that had helped. The since the duration of the race is less than a minute, so why is endurance so important?
Yeah, even I was having this doubt until I saw this race like first hand this time. So basically when it starts, they have three qualifying rounds. So again, it happens age category wise, like, so it's 5 to 6, 6 to 7, it goes that way. But the time gap between your first moto to the second moto is like about 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay, so you have to recover.
You have to recover. And I saw most of the kids there, like the 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, who are already number one at the Asian level, who were actually, between each moto, they were actually on the roller trainer. They were not actually sitting and resting. Of course, the smaller children, the 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, were all sitting, and the little kids were actually playing.
So they were ensuring that
they were ensuring they are warmed up. And they didn't want their... They kept saying, the coach kept saying, the legs should not get tired. So for that, you have to keep riding.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop, because every time you take a break, I'm assuming it's more to do with the lactic acid buildup, because it's an all-out effort every time, is my assumption. Because... even our physio always kept insisting that you do stretches between the between each moto also. It helps a lot. So you have to keep that thing on, like, okay, after the three motos, you get qualified or you don't get qualified. So you get to know. So it's basically like a cumulative average which they pick at that point of time. So you have to be good to go to the semifinals. It's not that you've done one moto well and you're sure to go to the semifinals.
I was seeing a video about Usain Bolt, how he goes through these various qualifier heats, you know, world championships and stuff. There they have the liberty of even easing off in a heat if they know that they are in the top, you know, they are winning it. Those because they all it finally matters is how well you do in the final heat. So I think that is much easier to do in a 100 meter dash, wherein everything is straightforward and you go, whereas in a BMX it can be much more tricky, because like you said, you have to catch your specific racing line and stuff. So is it that you can ease up a little bit in the beginning, or it is like all out all the heats?
No, what I saw is the actual the professional riders there, the I saw a lot of professional riders in the 14 to 15 age category. So those kids, what they do is they make their lead right in the beginning. At the start, they make the lead.
And then they
Once they make the lead, then they are like done. It's even with Agastya, I felt like if he could have made the lead, then he would have been like much ahead of everybody else. The reason he had his strategy was like he would, after he hits the end of the gate, then he started chasing. So then you have to keep putting your effort throughout. But for the kids who have made their lead, then there's nobody, you don't need to worry about anybody coming in your line. Nothing is going to happen. You just soar past after that. So probably it was more a strategy for Agastya for that day. And 6 months down the line, or by next year, the same time, if I were to speak about him, I'm sure things would be totally different.
So which leg does Agastya keep start with? Did you try both the legs?
Yeah, they do all the training on both legs. It's right and left.
Okay.
So it's like, even I found, even he came and told me after the camp at the US also, that they don't talk about you being right dominant or left dominant. It really doesn't matter. It's just that you do on one leg, do contra, everything. Every training happens on first, whichever leg you want, then contra with the other leg. That's all. So they don't even ask you which leg you want to start on. Your whichever leg you did, contra with the other leg on the training.
But doesn't he have a preferred leg for the start itself? I mean, for all of us, we'll have one leg over the other. I know in track cycling, in sprint training, for example, we train to be powerful on both the legs, because we don't know when the sprint will start.
That's right.
But it is different in the BMX, because you have, you can choose what is your start position.
Start position you choose.
So, did you try training him with different legs?
No,
or did he try in different races? With?
I don't think, because this is officially our first race really. So he did it on his right leg from observation is what I'm saying. I haven't checked how it works for him, or will he be better if he starts with the left leg? I haven't checked.
In fact, I think you should also try with different pedal positions, because at different pedal positions, because different muscles
get activated.
So though typically it is the 3 o'clock position, it may not be exactly 3 o'clock for everybody. For example, in track cycling, there is that minor change that each person has their sweet spot. I think it is very important to find that as well.
Probably he would kind of figure it out in the next few months, because from January, our training program is getting a little more intense, and we're having Coach Sanasi, we're having Coach Hamza, we're having our physio Sajin, three people involved, and I'm going to be doing it along with him. So with everybody getting involved and our physios right now trying to figure out on the biomechanics for BMX cyclists, because he came with us both the races and he's made his observations.
Oh, he came to Malaysia?
He came along to Malaysia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's kind of made his observations on both the races and seeing other racers also. Because he's worked with a lot of badminton players before and he plays football himself. So BMX is totally new for him and he's seen cycling, but he's seen more of road biking.
Yeah.
So, and he's seen the pump track. He's seen what Agusti's done on the pump track. So this was totally different. So in fact, he was also talking about working a little on the biomechanics and seeing where he can work better on his the explosive power, capitalizing on the explosive power throughout. In fact, you have mentioned many times on the explosive power for Agusti. So that's the same thing even his coach there has been telling. We need to capitalize on that. Because right now if we see the other kids who are experienced on the gate versus Agusti, I found that the moment they stand at the gate, it's a matter of balance there. It starts with balance. So the instant they're on the gate, they're already balanced and they're already ready kinds. But it takes a couple of seconds for Agusti to actually hit at the balance and then work on the position.
Oh, so nobody holds him, is it? He has to...
It's, you don't hold. Only when the gate is not... Means if this part of the gate is not there, that's when the holding happens. But if you're actually at it, you just have to stand. There's no holding here.
Okay. But he can keep his other leg on the ground?
No. Both your legs are parallel on the pedal and your start position is like that.
Okay. So and do they have brakes on the bikes? No, right?
They have, one brake.
Okay.
So, but generally they're asked not to use the brakes because that's going to hit. And it'll hit the momentum because the moment they have a time, it's first, they just tell them, okay, rider's ready, random start. And then rider's ready is there. Then there is a short gap and then you have the actual beep. After the beep is when the gate falls. So you have to be fully in position, your body position, everything. You have to be like a statue basically there. And the moment it starts, there is a pull up and they start pedaling. So the pull up and the pedal has to happen together.
Okay.
So that synchronization itself took a while for Agusti. From September to now, he's mastered that. But in terms of the entire scenario, yes, we need a little more of gate practice. In fact, as I was telling you, just yesterday I was speaking to Coach Sanasi and we're trying to make a gate here to work on that. Though we will be going to Malaysia and Indonesia and training more in the first quarter of next year before the Asian BMX Championship and World Championship. But still, Coach was saying if you can simulate the gate atmosphere a little more and practice more on it, it would definitely be an added benefit because at least then I don't have to work on his balance and his start position when he comes here. I have to only work after gate. Gate start to ramp end is where I have to work on. So that also we can simulate with the roller.
Cool.
Because there are some, he says you can pedal even up to 40 times just on that ramp to actually fly. And I have seen some of the kids who, they only pedal there. After that, they actually only fly through the track. They don't, they're not on the track. They're actually literally flying through the track.
So what are the next, what does 2020 look like for Agusti in terms of his calendar? What are his aims and goals?
Yeah, 2020 is actually very exciting and challenging right now. Exciting because it's the first time we're actually going to be more outside India than at home really. Second, challenging, yes, because it's going to give us an idea about what we will be doing for the next 4 years, because next 5 years is what I'm seeing for him to hit the Youth Olympics. So we're starting with Indonesia. They have the one UCI race which is happening on 15th and 16th at Jakarta. So we'll be going there for training on 1st of February. Originally it was March, just yesterday we got the calendar release. So 1st of February we'll be training for that race. So after that race we'll be taking a short break back here at our pump track. We are contemplating on having a national selection here, which Maxwell sir has been talking about. So that should be happening end February, most probably.
Mm-hmm.
More discussions on that will be happening shortly. After which we have to again go back for training on March 15th to Indonesia for another 15 days of training. April 5th, 6th, there is a UCI race in Malaysia which we'll be participating in. And April 11th, 12th is the Asian BMX Championship at Jakarta again.
Okay, so the entry into Asians is based on UCI points gained or by the country's recommendations?
It's country's recommendations right now.
Okay.
UCI points we have to start working on when he's close to 12, so probably from next year.
Okay.
This year we can still manage this way. And there is a quota system also when the number of athletes is less than like about 16 in one particular sport. So
Okay.
we will still fall under the quota system.
Mm-hmm.
At least for the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Probably after that we'll have more people.
You're saying India will have
India.
Yeah,
in India. So
okay. Hopefully that changes.
Hopefully, let's see. So right now it's in Agassi's age category, there's only Agassi, so we are fine.
Mm.
And they have a lot of age categories for BMX. That
okay.
way it's very very good and interesting, because like from 5 to 6 years you have a category. So 5 to 6, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. 12 to 14, 14 to 16, and then it goes ahead.
Wow, quite unlike road cycling,
yeah.
Actually.
So that way it's a very big advantage. So it's for all the people who keep thinking Agassi is too young, he's not actually young, and 10 is anyway midway there already.
Cool.
So
we'll turn back a little and talk about the challenges you have faced as a parent, because just earlier you were mentioning that you emphasize and focus a lot on not influencing
mm-hmm.
Agassi and not deciding what he has to do, and rather he has to decide what he has to do. But knowing your background, I am sure you have been accused that you have done that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, right from the time I was doing the long distance rides, I've been having every random person, right from auto rickshaw drivers to parents to anybody on the road, accusing me and asking, why do you have to be out with a kid? Are you mad? And this is child abuse. How can you be riding with a small child? I'm like, he's my child. I'm riding. I think you guys can chill. I'm not calling your kid to ride with me. So from there, my journey started. From there, it somewhere in between, it kind of is like, okay, you are crazy. Your kid is crazy. Go ahead. We were at that point. But suddenly now from last 3 months, I'm seeing everybody is very supportive and they're like, oh, actually, you guys are doing something. I think it is commendable. So I'm like, okay, so that way we've kind of
mm-hmm.
moved forward in terms of opinions from others. Not that I really took much importance to the opinions which people gave, and I get a lot of free advice almost every day, like probably changing sport is a good option. There is badminton academy like 3 kilometers away from home. Why don't you go there? Like from very good friends of mine who actually support me also, they say like, probably you should be doing badminton, or he was playing tennis. He was doing good at tennis. Probably you should go back to tennis. Or the latest thing is, no, Gokul is there. Maxwell sir is there. Why don't you just do road biking and track biking? Why are you doing BMX? So, but now I kind of got used to it. So it's like, okay, thanks. I'm like, good. We are happy with what we are doing. As long as we are sustaining, we are sustaining. Let's see. If there is a point where we have to stop, probably we will stop. And a lot of people ask me, what if Agassi loses interest? He started young, and people still believe he started young, but I think it is the right age he started at. Because anywhere you go outside, they're looking at the miles you have added through your life, and it cannot happen if you start at 15. Even here in India, they say you come for road biking at 15. How can you suddenly get a kid and say, okay, come, let's go cycling? Well, fine, from a college admission point of view, okay, but I think sport has to be life, so I don't believe that aspect at all. And yeah, people keep asking questions. I got used to it these days. So it's like, even before they ask questions, sometimes I'm like, yes, I know what I'm doing is crazy. We are fine. We are happy being crazy. But at least now there's a little bit of recognition. Even Cycling Federation of India is trying to support us. They're issuing a rider license. So that's a very big step for anybody to move into international racing. So we are getting that support from them. The coach, finding good coaches was a good coach was actually a very big step for me. Especially it happened the first instant. I didn't have to do a lot of trial and errors.
Mm.
Because after the US camp, again, I was still slightly unsure. The camp was good. He learned a lot of things, but I still didn't know how to take it forward. But with this coach, I like his approach and his analysis of Agassi and the amount of time he spends, even though we are not living in Malaysia, like every day almost for an hour, he's on chat with me and gives me a lot of feedback about every day's training. So every day once I send the training report, he gives his feedback and analyzes it pretty much like extreme details.
Mm-hmm.
Like that amount of analysis I have done with you for a couple of times when I was training in with Agassi, but for him to do it on an everyday basis, even though we are not there and he may not even be sure whether we're really going to go back for the next race and things like that, but still that sync is very good. And this time Hamza also met him there, so as a team now it's working well between two coaches, one physio and I. We are working well. Is that and the school is also very supportive. In fact, I came back and spoke to school. Every time we keep going back and telling, okay, we are still existing, we are coming to school. So sometimes it gets challenging and tiring to try to do a little bit of studying during training. As in Hyderabad, it works still because I think Agassi is more used to the Hyderabad weather, and here training happens in the evening. But all the races, all the training in Malaysia is happening in the sun. And though, yes, Vignan has trained with Agassi in the sun before, but this was totally different this time because for him to get used to the heat there was taking a lot of time, and that was draining him a lot, but I think he kind of managed it. So, and there's more to do because until the Asian BMX Championship, everywhere is going to be hot, and then we're going to go to US where it's going to be cold, so he doesn't have a choice. He has to get used to both.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So do you have any advice? You have been given a lot of free advice. So do you have any advice for other parents who would like their kids to pursue something, or if their kids are showing interest in a sport? It may not be cycling,
yeah,
any sport.
Yeah. One thing is I want all parents to necessarily expose their kids to sport because movement itself is very important for children and human beings. And as adults, we realize that because of lack of movement, we are the amount of illnesses and the aches and pains we are having because of lack of movement is definitely higher than the aches and pains an athlete actually is having. That pain is totally different, and this is different. So children can get into movement as a habit only if it starts young. It's not going to work. Okay, you finish your 10th grade, in the vacation you start, it's not going to work. For that, first, as parents, I think all parents should start doing some physical activity, sport, whichever they enjoy. And there are so many choices today. Choices are like really n number of choices are there for children to pick, for adults to pick. So rather than looking at picking a sport or picking an activity with an end result where you're going to get an admission into a better institution, it's better to see how it's going to become a way of life. That's what I tell people when I teach them Kalaripayattu. That's one of the reasons I switched from karate to Kalaripayattu, because karate was, okay, when will you give us the next belt? When is the next certificate? But in Kalaripayattu, it's you just need to have it as a habit, keep it as a way of life, and you keep progressing that way. Even when I did my refresher recently, 3 months before with my teacher, that's how it was. It's like, okay, how much of time you are able to give to it and what benefit you have because of it. So that happens only if you're going to start it young. So it's better for all parents to get their kids into any sport which they are enjoying. And don't attach it to the certificates. Don't attach it to college admission. They have to enjoy it fully. And as Gokul also has been telling me a lot of times, that whatever time you're spending for Agassi, for whatever sport, don't look at it like a sacrifice you're doing for the kid. It's like, end of the day, everybody has to benefit, and all of us should be doing what we're enjoying. I think that's good enough.
Cool. So, what are the biggest challenges you see or you have faced? I don't know.
Challenges, Well, I don't get stuck to many of the challenges. I look at how I can convert it into an opportunity immediately. So that is a big plus, which I think I picked from my parents. Both my father and mother were always like that. So it's always like any small setback, they would look at how you just surpass that and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And even I faced it a lot of times, because as a girl being in martial arts, when I was young, it was always difficult. Like, why do you have to be doing it? Why don't you choose something else? Do you have to be doing karate? Because it was always like there were only boys in my class throughout. It's only when I started teaching girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I always look at how I can make every challenge an opportunity. So when it came to BMX, yes, initially first, we have challenges actually almost every day, like right from getting the bike to getting the accessories for the bike, like whether it's a tube or a tire, everything. We don't get anything immediately in India. Even now, we don't get it in India. So a lot of things I had to source from the UK at one point of time, but now at least I figured out that from Malaysia, I can source things easily. So whenever we travel, we come back like pretty much a mini store is there in my bag always. But now at least we kind of figured out where we can get spares easily and how do we get bikes easily. Because even the race bike we picked from Malaysia, it's a used bike, but it's a good bike, and upgradation we will be doing probably by next year the same time. And even his freestyle bike, I picked it from UK, but it's good. Again, the spares for it, we got it from UK. Malaysia, yeah, when I bought the bike, I had already learned lessons. So I got tires, tubes, chains, everything for it. In fact, even extra pair of spokes we got and came. So so that I see as a challenge. Right now, the present challenge, of course, is the gate, because we need to start training on the gate. But looks like I will be able to work on that by January. I hope I will be having my own gate.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very funny, but yes, we'll have our own gate then.
Mm-hmm.
That was a challenge until 2 days before. But yesterday we figured out the coach from Malaysia gave us specs for the gate. So and the fabricator here is willing to make it. Otherwise, yeah, I can get a gate, buy the gate, it'll get shipped here. The cost of the gate is only 7,000 rupees, but I don't know shipping cost how much it will be. But one of it will happen. So January first week, yes, gate will be here. We will be training on the gate. So once we get the gate, I think the next challenge will be having the gate positioned on a ramp, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that also, yes, looking at options, looking at the place where we live, looking at the stadium and our pump track itself. But pump track doesn't have so much space, because we need space immediately after the descent from the gate. We need space. That looks to be a challenge now. And all the guards, yes, it was difficult to get guards here, but now we got guards. Coach was a challenge sometime before. Coach is there now. So as of now, looks very positive. And next year, we have a lot of races and training signed up. So as of now, yes, I am trying to get sponsors for that. And hopefully I will. I've not hit upon anybody really. But looks like I will be able to find a sponsor. Or as Agassi improves in his performance, because there is an improvement right from last 2 months to now. In race BMX, there has been an improvement. In his pump track, obviously, there is big improvement. So as people start seeing more improvement, and as he shows better performance, and as he starts enjoying his sport more, I'm sure we'll be able to find sponsors also this year.
Cool.
So, well, I think.
So that means you don't have any challenges. So.
Cool.
Or at least you know how to overcome them.
Yeah.
So that's more important.
Yeah,
I
think working on challenges is a skill which I've acquired. So I think that is fine. Challenges are good actually, because at least then we start looking at how to find things. Otherwise, it's like, okay, we were in a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it was only, okay, Red Bull pump track races. Agassi and all of us were in a comfort zone. We know, okay, these are the five people who are going to participate. We know how we can win against them, and that's it. There was no scope for improvement for anybody. In fact, now we saw this year the Red Bull Championship, even the adults felt, okay, the kids have already reached their timing, so they have to also get better.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody started working on a better timing.
Cool.
Red Bull Pump Track Championship had amazing timing system from kids and adults. So.
Good. So that was so nice talking to you and understanding about a completely new sport from a very different perspective.
Oh yeah, BMX is bicycle motocross basically.
That
was the first thing. That's the first thing I should have said.
We have of course covered a lot of these things in our earlier episode with Hamza Khan about BMX. So I'm sure if you don't understand that, you can refer to that podcast
episode. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Anupa. It was great talking to you.
Oh yeah, same here, Gokul.
For our episode with Anupa, she brought in a completely different perspective about a parent and how she has helped her son progress in cycling. As usual, please do rate us on Apple Podcast, and you can also leave comments on the Facebook page. If you have any questions that you would like us to answer, please do write us an email at podcast@thebikeaffair.com or drop in us a message on our Facebook page. Thank you.